time to talk to Peter Adam, talking about foreigners who are wanting to own property in South Africa. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Welcome to all the listeners out there. Like we mentioned a few seconds ago, nice and cold this morning out on the East Coast. It was 11 degrees when I came in. It was dark still. So chilly, chilly winter. Yeah, we are right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I think the longest night has just passed, but I think the grips of winter are still coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, a nice chat this morning. It's about foreigners. Can they buy property in South Africa? And I think basically what we're going to discuss today is applicable to us as South Africans buying property overseas as well. They will have their own terms and conditions, but more or less in line with what happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first question is, if you're not a South African citizen, you come out, you visit the country, you see something you like, you think you can make an annual trip here, you find a house that you want to buy on the nice, wonderful wild coast that we have down here, can you buy it? Yes. The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Foreigners can buy property. They do not have to be citizens. They do not have to be resident in South Africa. They can enter into a contract. It will be allowed, but according to very strict conditions in that regard. Mm-hmm. The first and foremost thing is that make sure if you're purchasing property, you don't do so by the way of a shake of a hand with somebody. You know, I've got a lot of instances where people have come, seen property here, then they come to me and they tell me, oh, well, you know, we agreed on $1 million. We paid $500 into an account in London and the guy will use that account and the other $500 is, yeah, that's going to bite you hard at the end of the day, because disclosure and honesty in these property deals with foreigners is of the utmost importance. So not only is the buyer going to get a problem at the end, but the seller as well, if necessary, because it will come out what amount has actually been paid at the end of the day. So let's just take the example where you buy for $1 million, you pay somebody $500 into a London banking account, and you do the deal here for $500. You've got to make sure that the property sold at a fair value. So the first things first, the revenue will not accept a sale for $500 if the property is worth $1 million. So you would have to have a rates account or a valuation that says that it's only worth that $500,000. If you get that right, you may well get away with it, buying at the $500,000 instead of the $1 million. But believe me, there are lots of ways of being caught out, so be very, very careful. So the first and foremost thing to do as well is to make sure that you go through an attorney. It's compulsory for the property to be properly registered in the deeds office, and that has to go through an attorney. So to bring money into the country as a foreigner as well, you would need to have an attorney who will confirm with the Reserve Bank that the deal is there, that the exchange rate is what it is, and you know, the problem is that the money must come through and the bank will phone, Reserve Bank will phone to find out what is the person purchasing, where is the person purchasing. You've got to fill in all those details on a form that comes from the Reserve Bank. And the, like I mentioned, if you buy for $1 million and only pay $500, remember, you're only going to take that amount out when you sell one day as well. You know, so everything that you make is going to have a little hold back as well. So it's not worthwhile underestimating but underpaying what you are going to pay for it as a foreigner. The money has to go straight to an attorney. An estate agent's trust account, as far as I know, is also allowed pertaining to the purchase. So that there in itself will be the revenue proof that the money went towards the purchase of property, which they can do a check on. So, you know, non-residents as well, when they decide to sell in South Africa, they can repatriate all funds invested plus any profits made on the sale, less, of course, capital gains tax. The revenue will come up and say, we're going to make you pay capital gains tax. So it's very important that if you purchase property as a foreigner, that you keep a record of all improvements made to the to the property, because that obviously you can set off against your profit that you make when you're selling, and that will help towards the capital gains tax amount that is payable. Okay? So let's say that you're a foreigner, that you buy, the attorney does a sale for you, it's registered in your name. Going forward, you need to make sure that you keep the following documentation. I must say that we've done quite a few here at Allums, and we've always kept a record for the foreigners of exactly what they've done, and made them keep copies of their improvements and things like that, the few that we've had. It's not an everyday occurrence, but you do get it from time to time. So, you know, they must always keep proof of their funds from the outset. You know, sometimes it's a joke. You get the foreigners, you get people coming from, let's say, Britain, for example, and with the exchange rate, it's like 23 to 1. Most of them can buy a property with, you know, you buy land, an open plot on your credit card. With the exchange rate, yeah. So, you know, there they don't need a transferring account and things like that, but they will need it when they bring money in to build on that home. So make sure that you know what amount you've paid for the property, that you've got proof of the payment, and also make sure that you keep the conveyancing account that comes with it. In other words, you'll get a statement from the conveyancers to say that's what the property deal is, purchase price, costs involved, etc. So keep that. You also need to keep a copy, if you're a foreigner, of the sale agreement. You can be asked for a copy of the sale agreement. So make sure that you ask the attorney concerned, please, to give you a fully signed copy of the sale agreement. So we go back again. You need the original sale agreement copy. You need the exchange rate approval that was received from the bank on the sale eventually, or the amount that you paid with your credit card, and what you spent later building. You need the conveyancer's final statement of account reflecting the proceeds from the purchase that you did. The foreign bank, I think I'm repeating myself, but the foreign bank account information, which comes from the Reserve Bank through the attorney. And then, of course, you also need just to keep in the pack a copy of your ID as a foreigner and proof of residence of a non-resident. Because that will be required by the attorney concerned as well. So if you're from London, for example, you need to give me your proof of address in London of your residence, and then it satisfies the FICA requirements to sort that out. So very important that you keep all documentation when proceeding with a sale as a foreigner. Don't bring money in. Don't buy stuff underhand. You know, you get these foreigners that come in and they bring X amount in every time, or they pay it over to somebody, or they open an account in London for someone. You're looking for trouble. At the end of the day, that property is immovable. It's got a value. It's one day going to be sold, or one day something's going to happen to it. And then you don't want to have problems when that happens. So be careful. The main thing in this whole setup is the tax implications. That's why I'm warning you know, buyers for that. You know, they're required to register as a taxpayer, believe it or not. So you don't come in here and not register as a taxpayer. You register because, like we mentioned earlier, there's going to be capital gains tax at the end of the day. So you're not going to pay tax here, but you've got to we've got to register you as the conveyancer. We will register you as a South African taxpayer solely for the purposes of that capital gains obligation one day. And no, it does not expire after so many years. It does not go away. It will be in the system with your number, and immovable property is registered in the deeds office, so there's no ways of getting around it. So they must make sure to add to the documents above that we mentioned you must keep. You must remember to make an effort to get from your conveyancer the South African tax number that has been allocated to you, and you keep that with it. That will allow you to buy and sell whilst in South Africa. And like I said, it's straightforward. They don't refuse it. They will give it to you straight away. You know, that you can either – the attorney normally does that for you, the conveyancing.
Okay.
What is capital gains? I think at the moment it's about – 18 or 20% of the profit that you will derive from that sale. That's something just to bear in mind as well. So, you know, if you buy for $1 million, you sell for $1 million, there's no problem. But if you buy for $1 million and sell for $2 million, you're going to pay 20% tax, capital gains tax on that.
Right, right.
And then also there's a thing called withholding tax that comes into it. You know, when immovable property in South Africa is purchased from a non-resident, by a non-resident, shall I say, must withhold the required rate until clearance is received from SARS. So, you know, it's a matter of you sell your house for $2 million. I think that's also the 20% that you got to hold until SARS gives you the clearance to say, okay, he's registered or she's registered. The sale can go ahead.
Yeah.
They have a tax number. So the conveyancing attorney needs to hold back that withholding tax until the deal is finalized. The holding tax, okay, I do remember now. I think it's, if it's a company, I think withholding tax is 10%, not 20. And a trust is 15. I don't know why a trust was more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the individual is half of that. I think the individual is about 7 or 7.5%. That's the withholding tax that must be held until it's all done.
Okay.
So, you know, if we go back and we say, what is the process? Can a foreigner buy in South Africa? Yes.
Yes, they can.
Make sure you as the seller have your ducks in a row and that there's nothing illegal there, because you can fit into the picture and be punished.
Mm.
So the first thing is that you'll sign the offer. The offer must go to the conveyancers, the transfer attorneys. They will receive it. The method of payment will come into the picture. Does the party intend applying for a bond, which can happen? A foreigner can apply for a bond. Does he intend transferring funds from overseas? And you've got to first sort out then the guarantee for payment to the attorney. You've got to pay your fees and the deposit, and normally the sale price will be paid into an interest-bearing account for you until the documents will be signed with the attorneys. And then once the clearance has been received on the rates, the tax side, South African Revenue Services, in our instances, you've got water, you've got electricity and all that that needs clearances. You need all the necessary certificates as normal, wood borer, electrical, gas and the like. And then once all of that is cleared and everything's in order, the transfer attorneys will send the documents to the deeds office. It's lodged. It's registered in the name of the foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, then the sale is through.
Mm-hmm.
And the foreign buyer takes occupation and the funds are paid up because there's a clearance. So there are just short delays in that regard.
Mm.
But foreigner can buy property at the end of the day.
And
that's where we are today.
And Peter, just on that topic, if you scan through papers and news stories, you'll see a lot of property in the Western Cape is actually foreign owned, and it's a political hot potato in certain areas, you know, in certain sort of political ideals or ideas. But in terms of selling to a foreign person, let's say your person is Joe Bloggs, who lives in London, but this property is not their primary residence. In other words, they don't have permanent resident status in South Africa. So that's obviously where the capital gains part of it comes in. But let's say Joe Bloggs is a foreigner. He is a British citizen, but he's got, let's say, permanent residence status in South Africa. Is that slightly different, or, you know, is it treated very, very in a similar way?
If he's got permanent residence, obviously he would have a SA ID book and that would allow him.
So that would
you
be...
You've got a lot of Zimbabweans that live in South Africa now. You've got people that have come here and settled.
Mm.
You have people from all sorts of countries. So with the flow of time, they become citizens, basically. They might be born in London, but South African citizens by virtue of the fact that they now live here. And yes, you're right. The Western Cape is full of it. That whole mountain side with all those posh homes in Cape Town are mainly owned by foreigners who come out here for 2-3 months of the year.
Mm.
Some come 6 months for the winter and 6 months, for the summer and 6 months in back home in London for summer, that seems to be a trend of quite a few people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is. It's a big trade down in Cape Town and places like that. I think we've got a few here in East London as well. I think we've got a few penthouses here that are owned by foreigners who have come to visit and who come from time to time to visit and that type of thing. I know for a fact as well that out at Tsinsa we've got one or two overseas people who own property there, you know, who have made South Africa their home for 3 months of the year or so, because they enjoy our good weather, they enjoy the wild coast and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, the foreigner very much so can buy, but they'll get bitten with capital gains tax at the end of the day. So make sure, today's chat, make sure that you keep a copy of everything that's necessary, or not everything that's necessary, but everything from the sale. Keep a copy of all records. Make sure you're in contact with the attorney that did the transfer, that you can make easy contact with him at the end of the day as well.
And so as you say, it's a process that is permitted, as long as it's done according to the steps that you've laid out in our chat this morning.
Correct. Absolute vital. Not the shake of a hand, not money into a foreign account that the person in South Africa can go spend it in London or Canada or Aussie, wherever.
Okay.
Make sure you have a proper record and it's noted correctly and done correctly. Don't take shortcuts. They're going to bite you terribly at the end of the day.
And the interesting thing in South Africa at the moment is that SARS, in terms of government departments, is probably one of the most efficient. And they will get you one way or another.
Absolutely. I mean, they're wide awake. They know what you cannot register anything, you know, without them knowing. So as a conveyancer, it's impossible for us to hide that. Completely impossible.
Right. And you wouldn't really want to, because of the implications that you've laid out already.
Absolutely. You don't want to cross paths with them. Just looking for trouble.
Right. Well, Peter, very interesting and you know, sort of the finer nuances of the whole property game, of course, you know, foreign ownership being one of those, but very interesting. And if somebody has queries similar to this, of course, in the property conveyancing side of things or just general law, how do they go about contacting Alam's attorneys?
If they can, like us on Facebook, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, Alam's Facebook, like us, and then you'll see all the chats every week with yourselves, as they can find on your WhatsApp as well. And then they can also get us at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, little side street where Pep Stores is, number 6 Sansom Road, telephone 043-7211-018. I'll repeat that, 043-7211-018. So quite easy, phone in, WhatsApp us, or go on Facebook and send a message through Messenger, and we'll come back to you straight away.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Always great chatting, and looking forward to our chat next week, Monday.
Super. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, and cheerio. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat, which, as mentioned, will be on our website later today as well, wildcoastradio.co.za.